Tuesday, July 4th, 2006, upon further review, episode number 4. You know, if we're not careful, this thing's going to get to be a habit.
Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop to think.
Well, all right then. Welcome to Upon Further Review. I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
And this is episode number 4, if you can believe that. So
I can.
It's starting to be like a habit or something when we're doing this. But it's good. It's good.
Happy 4th of July.
That's right. We're recording this on the 4th of July, so happy Independence Day to everybody. Or in the case of our friend Story, happy America is a crappy country that he hates day.
And actually, in the case of probably a lot of our listeners, since they're outside of the United States.
Well, that's true. That's true. Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe I hope some of them, like, you know, think okay of the United States.
Well, if they're anything like the people we ran into when we would do those world debate tournaments.
That's true.
Any chance they can get to denounce America and any chance I can get to pretend I'm Canadian was the way to survive.
It's true. When I debated in Australia in the World Debate Championships in Sydney, actually, one of the things I was debating at the time for where I went to graduate school, Brandeis University, and our whole goal was to try to make it sound as Canadian as possible. Brandeis, where is, oh, you know, it's over in, and then I named some vaguely Canadian things. Manitoba, Columbia, Vancouverish there. Oh yeah, oh, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, and then your undergrad was UConn.
Was UConn, so they
so
assumed
everyone
I was
just
up
presumed
in,
it's yeah. UConn, you know,
absolutely.
Canada, and you're all set.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the whole. That was
and then
the whole
you wore
goal.
Those bow ties, and
that even was more Canadian. Oh well, okay. So a few things that we want to sort of get squared away here before we get started with the show proper. First of all, besides thanking everybody for listening to us, we want to say hello to all the new people that have downloaded. We had more people downloading and listening now this week than last week, which means that hopefully we're doing something right or people are finding out about us. So we want to thank you for that. And we want to encourage everybody to continue to check out the website. And also, we've gotten quite a few requests for podcast reviews, which we're going to do sort of, you know, one at a time during the week. But we want to remind everybody that we are an overall review show. And so if you guys have other things that you would like us to review, stuff that you may not even necessarily have done yourself, a movie that you've seen or a TV show or something you'd like us to check out, please let us know and we will be happy to review that as well.
You're going to be coming to New York and there's something you'd like us to try out for you.
Right.
Before you get here.
And if it's something that costs money and you send us a check initially, all that's
that's true.
Fine.
That's true. I guess it's within reason. But I don't know. Maybe we could do it as like a tax write-off or something like
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think that would be a good possibility.
Okay. But also people can email us or what is the other thing that they can do on our website?
They can leave comments, too, on our different entries and stuff
okay.
like that.
So we have one email that we want to acknowledge so that people can know that it will be acknowledged.
Yes.
And this is in regards to the subject, one of the subjects of our first podcast, the X-Men movie.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, I don't know if you want to read it, but it says, person said that she listened to the podcast and that she completely agreed with the way that we talked about things, but she thinks it kind of is even beyond that in particular.
Although I should say that she wins the You Agreed With Us prize, that's which we're now just instituting 5 seconds ago.
Oh.
So good job. The winner of this
Wait,
is
we
this
should
emailer.
Really put this to a vote, Greg. Okay, so all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Any abstentions? No, okay. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So all right, great. So she wins. Is it like weekly or?
Yeah, she wins the ability to listen to our show free. Well, we'll actually give her free downloads. In fact, you all have won because you all get to download our show for free now.
No, we'll acknowledge it. I think that's
okay.
Winning enough is that we've said that you're the winner. All right. So she says that she completely agrees with us about the moment where they all looked at the weapon. Because remember, I said that they all look at that one, the weapon in the moment, and they should be deciding whether or not to use the cure or not.
Yep.
But instead, really what they're doing is the stupid thing of Wolverine needs to learn about teamwork thing, which
mm-hmm.
he already understands. But she also mentioned another point, which is, I guess, another point that could be made. It goes a little bit feminist on me, but I guess we can bring some feminists into it, is that she thought the biggest issue was when Phoenix, when Jean turns into Phoenix. And this is not ruining it, so you don't have to do a spoiler alert. When Jean turns into Phoenix.
Well, at this point, if they haven't seen the movie, either they really agree to their review or they're just, you know, too late. I mean, you know, we've given them time. So.
When she turns into Phoenix, one of the things is she becomes a very sexualized woman.
Yes.
And so, again, this unbridled sexuality being connected to a power that they can't control and must control, and a dangerous power at that.
Yep.
So, I mean, her point being that, you know, feminine sexuality, unleashed feminine sexuality is dangerous.
And that she has to be killed by the man who loved her.
Right.
Because, you know, that to sort of cut down this sort of thing. And
right.
I think it's interesting. I mean, the other problem is that, see, depends on who you're going to, you know, cast in the role. I mean, Famke Janssen is very attractive, and I think that's going to make the sexuality thing something which is sort of more obvious. And her character is made a very sexualized creature to begin with, I think, from the way you've described it anyway, a little bit. And so there is something about that going in there. I'm to be honest with you, I think if you said the word gender to the director, he'd just be like, I don't really think.
Yeah, I mean, my issue.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I just don't think I think he'd be totally like, wouldn't even know what she was talking about because he doesn't even think ahead this much.
Yeah.
Know?
I mean, I don't really have an issue with it because although it is making a statement about female sexuality within our culture, I understand the reason for it because they make a note of her being so sexually controlled as not a woman, but as a person. I don't really see that as a, I don't see her as a controlled female. I see her as a controlled person that has two guys interested in her.
Yeah.
One who's pretty rough and reckless, and she's conservative and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And when the other half of personality comes out, she's not.
Right.
So I didn't really look at it feminist wise, but, you know, I can see that. But another point that she makes that I absolutely love is she relates the ending part to you having this moment, this powerful moment of Phoenix at the end being controlled. And she compared it to The Fifth Element, which I don't know if anyone's seen the movie The Fifth Element.
I hope so. It's a good movie.
It's a very good movie. I love it. But the ending...
And Mila Jovovich, another symbol of unbridled sexuality, can be found within that movie.
She did a very good job.
Yes.
So you have all this thing, and then at the end, and I'm sorry I'm going to spoil it because the movie's been out for, over 5 years.
Fine, yeah. If you haven't seen it, shut it off for 15 seconds and come back, okay?
Well, really, in the end, she's, you know, having to do the thing to save the world, but she can't do it because no one's going to love her, and love is important, and she's going to be alone, and Bruce Willis says, oh, you know, I love you, and then that gives her the power to be able to do what she has to do. And, yeah, it's another example of the feminine not really being able to be truly strong unless they have a man behind her, you know, loving her.
It's interesting you bring this up, although we need to get moving on to the rest of the show, but it's interesting you bring this up because it also reminds me a little bit of, you just watched on DVD through the power of Netflix, Elektra, and it was striking me that Elektra, one of the things about that movie is that that doesn't really happen in that movie. I mean, she, you know, she hangs out with a couple of guys, but she doesn't have to go to the guy to help. I mean, besides the stick wielding sensei, which is necessary for every superhero or Karate Kid movie ever made, right? But besides that, I mean, you know, her battles she fights pretty much herself, and she has to learn lessons so that she could be more powerful. But it's not like some guy steps in and is like, "No, I will save you." So,
right.
And it's, you know, that movie was a disaster in the box office, and it's really not that good a movie. But at least they got that part of it right.
I don't know. I felt like, it was worth watching. It has some good action sequences in it.
Yeah. You know.
But yeah.
I don't know. It just reminded me a little bit of that thought.
Okay.
So anyway, thanks to this person. Thanks. And her name is Meg. I guess we can say that much. And we want to thank Meg for sending in the email. Okay. So we've got three things that we're going to review here seriously on the show today. And they are three, as per usual, very different things. We're going to start by reviewing Yankee Stadium. Yes, I said it, Yankee Stadium, because I just went there and I have some things I want to say about that. And then we're going to move on to review Hewlett-Packard, HP. And for those of you who have been waiting to get a really, you know, really super negative review from us, get ready because it's a coming. And then finally, we're going to finish by reviewing a podcast, which for this week is going to be the Will Flipson Show. So we'll talk about that as well.
Is it Will Flipson or Philipson?
Nope, it's Will Flipson. I pronounced it wrong the first time. Yes, Will Flipson. Okay, so we're going to start out here with Yankee Stadium. In the interest of full disclosure, I'm just going to say that I am a Boston Red Sox fan, a long-term Boston Red Sox fan, and that 2004 was a tremendous year for us. Thank you very much. So I recognize at the beginning that, you know, if there are a lot of Yankee fans listening to us, that...
So you might be biased.
Slightly. And I've been to not only this stadium, but I've been to Safeco Field in Seattle because I went with you and your dad.
Uh-huh.
And I've obviously been to some college baseball stadiums. And then, of course, I've been to Fenway and Yankee Stadium.
Uh-huh.
And the reason that I want to bring this up is because I know you've been with me as well to Yankee Stadium is there are some good and bad things about Yankee Stadium that I need to be I want to express. And the thing that really got me going on the subject was cost, and particularly cost of food. So I went and I saw the Mets-Yankees game. I guess this was last Saturday or Sunday or something like that with a friend of mine.
Saturday.
I guess it was Saturday. And we went there, and now he had gotten these tickets free through some promotion or something. So it was free. And those tickets were free. You could tell they were free because we were, if you've ever looked at the design of Yankee Stadium, and if you go to the website, www.ballparks.com/baseball/American/Yankee.htm.
Is that the official website?
No, their website is something else. But okay. this is specifically on Yankee Stadium. They show like the dimensions and stuff like that.
Okay.
So this shows you that it was first of all, it was built in 1923. And the whole design of the stadium, it's been a long time, and it was designed as like a three-deck stadium to sort of surround the field. And what that means is that it's pretty large. I mean, you can fit 55, 56,000 people in there, and it goes up three decks. So you can be really, really high up in the field. And we were way, way, way the hell up. Like if you, in right field, all the way in the third deck, all the way towards the back wall. So much so that we could actually see the George Washington Bridge from our row of seats. I mean, like literally the back row of seats. And yet even that far back, you still get a good view of the field. And when you and I went last year, I think it was, or a couple years ago, we noticed the same thing, right? That we were, oh no, I guess you were with me on the other side of the stadium. But still, anywhere that you sit,
I think we've been there twice, and I think I've been on either side. Like once we were out by, where's that? They have the area where they have little plaques or something.
Yeah, Monument Park, where they have all the Babe Ruth and
yeah.
The,
Okay, watch it, Greg.
I'll get into that discussion a little bit later on.
but we should note, because people that do know Yankee Stadium will want us to note that it was closed in the early 70s and then reopened again.
Right, they
so
were doing renovations.
Yep. I would presume they did substantial renovations at that point.
And now they're building a new one, by the way. Did you know that? They're building a whole new one in the Bronx.
It's been totally approved and everything.
Yeah. Because they need one, really. But anyway.
They're doing it in what was the parking lot, right?
Yes. Correct. That's correct.
Will the city own that new one too? Because the city's owned. I don't know if you know this, but the city owns this stadium ever since 1970.
Right.
Or so
that's right. And I don't know if they will or not. I'm not sure. I mean, I know that Steinbrenner, who's the owner, George Steinbrenner is the owner of the Yankees, has always. I think it's his birthday today too, by the way. So happy birthday to George Steinbrenner. His thing has always been to sort of get the city to do things for him, and you know his team, of course, is what brings people into the ballpark in the first place.
So they pay. Do they pay to use the stadium?
Yeah, I would assume they pay a lease. I assume they pay taxes and things like that. But they get all the revenues from obviously ticket sales, and they get all the revenues from food costs, which is one reason why whenever there's like lousy weather, and this is not just the Yankee Stadium, this is everywhere, you'll see people. They will freaking stay there, you know, till the bitter end because they want to get all the food vendors, you know, to be able to sell their food and get more money from concessions and things like that. But the point is, so on the good side, certainly a very good view. And in terms of things like security and everything else, they seem to handle things pretty well. About 10 years ago, this wasn't the case. About 10 years ago, security at Yankee Stadium was lousy, but they've really upped the ante on that, and security is better. Part of the reason for that is that now it's filled with a bunch of real cops. Like you'll see cops standing all around the stadium to break up fights and things like that. And I'm sure that they're getting paid, you know, time and a half or something like that to do this business. So
that's common in a lot of places, New York. Like I think this is still the case. Bloomberg after September 11th, but also part of the new initiative around the schools, got rid of security guards and put in police. It is a movement in the city to do that, to kind of up the quality. I don't know how long they're going to be able to sustain that.
I don't know either. I mean, it's good because it certainly keeps things secure, and that's fine. But you know, the security has been good, so the view is good, and certainly the field and the stadium itself are reasonably well maintained.
Was it a pain in the ass to get in? Like, can you not carry bags or anything?
No. It was fine. I mean, they made me open my cell phone, but you know, I was careful not to bring a lot of stuff in. I mean, I know that, you know, getting up to the stadium, sort of traveling to the stadium, most people take the subway. We actually drove and we took some back routes and whatever. But this, by the way, is sort of the first problem that I had with it. First of all, when we drove up to get to the stadium, they have parking lots that are around the city and they have parking garages and everything else. So we drive up and my friend says, boy, that's odd, because he's looking at a sign on the side of the parking garage and it says $13 for parking. Now remember, we're only going to be there for maybe, you know, say 4 hours. Now in New York, you can pay, especially if you're in Manhattan, you can pay like, you know, $10 for an hour. So it's not like that. It's that when he had come a week earlier to another game, the price had been $8. They jacked up parking $5, and the reason they could afford to do that is because the Mets were coming in town, and so they knew that everybody was going to come in, and that
town.
Was going to, as it were, I know, right? Well, they actually called it a road trip, which is why I'm like, yeah, okay, from Queens right. to the Bronx, right?
But, subway trip.
Yeah. And so they actually jacked up the prices. I was like, okay, that's a little ridiculous, but, you know, they need to make money.
Okay, but this is a theme that we're going to talk about a lot through the years on this show.
Yes.
Is that it's America, it's capitalism. If they can charge it, it's what's that slogan? It's build it,
what
they
the
will come.
Yeah, or what the market
what
will
the
bear
market
is
will
another
bear,
one. Yeah.
Charge it and they will pay it.
Yeah. And what the one of the points we'd make about that is just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. And that's kind of the point I want to make here, because one of the problems with capitalism is its excesses, right? And this is one of the things that was clear to me here, because you walk into Yankee Stadium. Now, Yankee Stadium is sold out until the end of forever, right? Because the Yankees have been very good for a long time, although they haven't won in 5 years. But they have been very good for... I'm sorry. I was really unfair and unfortunate. But they've been very good for a long time, and so they can afford to, you know, they're sold out and they've got all their tickets going. One of the things that does then is it means that you can jack up the prices because supply and demand, all that sort of thing. And I would understand it if they said, okay, so normally most ballparks, you're going to spend, say, $3 for a hot dog. Here, because we know that we can get you for more, because we know that they're in demand, we're going to raise it to $3.50, $3.75, something like that for a hot dog, okay? Let me explain to you how much each item cost that I got at Yankee Stadium. I got a bottled water for $4.75. I got a hot dog for $5. And I got one of those little ice cream things in the souvenir helmet deals for $5. Each one of these, I would estimate, is 150 to 200% more than it would normally cost. And it, like, say, if you were buying them in a store. And from a stadium perspective, Yankee Stadium has, I believe, the second most expensive concessions in the country, bar none. Now, you might say, well, they've got a huge payroll. They've got a $200 million payroll. What do you expect them to do? But they are making so much money, so much incredible amounts of money, that you can't make... For one thing, they own their own cable network, and they get tons of money from that as well, because if you want to watch the Yankees, you go to the YES Network, and the YES Network makes the money as well. They make so much money that the idea that they then have to raise ticket prices so that they can then afford to pay their incredibly overpriced, overplayed, you know, overpriced players is ridiculous. And I think it's a little bit obscene. And you could say, well, then just don't go. Okay, fine. But then what you're essentially doing is you're saying, if you want to go see a baseball game, you can't go see it here because they can gouge you, because that is what, quote, the market will bear. And so this is just sort of my rant against, just because you can do it doesn't mean that you should do
well,
it.
Well, and one thing to note, actually, is it's not like there isn't a precedence for baseball almost going by the wayside.
Oh, yeah.
And so they do need to be careful yep. about people not going to the stadium and people not being willing to pay to be interested enough.
And it was just the two of us. Can you imagine a family, you know,
well,
bringing two
but,
kids?
Well, but, you know, and in the end, they're betting on that even though baseball might not always be popular, the Yankees always will.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean...
A beer, by the way, $7.75.
Well,
now, I don't drink beer, so that was okay, but still, $7.75.
Of course. That's what always gets me whenever we go to those games, because every guy is like double fisting it, and they get up and they go back for a second and a third, each time double fisting it. I mean, they must be spending at least $100 on drinks,
yep.
let alone $100 or more on the price of the ticket.
Yep.
Speaking of which, how much are the tickets, do you know?
These tickets were $19 a piece for, as I say, putting me in roughly Scarsdale, I think, to see the game. That pretty much that's what they would have cost on the face value of the ticket. But as I say, you know, the tickets were free because we just, and that's fine. And all stadiums, I know we need to move on here, but all stadiums are expensive, and I understand that. Like, Fenway Park is very expensive, too. But the idea that you would actually jack up parking prices by $5, jack up what a hot dog ought to cost by by 150, 200%, jack up all of these things just because you can, I do think it sort of represents kind of the excesses of capitalism in a way that I don't like. And it's just, it bothers me. And so if I had to review Yankee Stadium as a result of all this, I would have to give it probably, I would say a 2.5, because I just can't stand the price. I mean, the view is good and, you know, the security and so forth is good, but the costs are so out of whack that I just don't think it's fair. And remember, they don't even have to pay for getting people to the park, you know, because it's all public transportation, which the city pays for. So to me, you're talking, I'd have to give it a 2.5 out of 5. That's what I have to do.
You have to do that.
I'm forced. My hand has been forced here.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, it's tough for me on that one because I'd say that you're going there to enjoy a game, not eat.
Well, yeah, but in a 9-inning game. I mean,
do they let you bring in food from outside?
No. Are you kidding me? No
way.
Are
you sure?
Oh, yes. I'm positive.
Okay, 2.5.
Yeah.
2.5.
Aha! I knew that would get her. Okay. Next,
all right, let's get to HP here,
let's
okay?
Let's get to HP.
Because two, three, four years ago, yeah. I wanted to buy a laptop.
Yes.
And we've had HP products in the past.
This is Hewlett Packard, for those of you living under a
figuring
rock.
That it...
under a rock that doesn't involve HP, which is actually a good thing. So,
It would be cramped under that rock.
Yes.
That is a good company, creates quality, not overpriced products.
Especially printers. They started out as a printer company, and we have a printer, HP printer, and it's good. You
know. And it's good. Yeah. And I would not... So let's make the distinction. We're not going to talk about HP printers. We're going to talk about HP computers and their tech support.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
I have had problems with HP tech support from the beginning.
Well, explain what it's about. I mean, like, so you got this laptop. Explain how it all broke down, because you've been frustrated by this for a long time.
Well, first, I would move the top part, the screen part of the laptop back a little bit, and suddenly it would go all black.
Right.
And it wouldn't turn off. I could see very, very faintly that it was still on, but it was all black.
You also heard a laughing sound out of the speakers, right?
No. Happened?
Okay.
And so then what I do is I call up, because I have a warranty.
Right.
And first I have to prove that I have that, because they don't have any proof of it.
Yeah, why would they keep records?
Why would they keep records?
No need for records.
So then I have to fax with proof of purchase. I mean, lucky that I kept all this stuff.
Yeah.
Fax it, proof of purchase. Okay, finally they get that. Okay, fine, they're going to help me. So then I have to ship it off to them. They get it. They have it for a month. Then they ship it back to me, having deleted everything, obviously, because they needed to take it to ground zero.
Right.
And having not fixed the problem. So then I've lost everything. I didn't have my computer for a month. And I get it back saying, problem cannot be duplicated. Here's your computer back.
Here's your computer. And by the way, we're going to erase your hard drive.
Right.
Don't bother us again.
Right. And by then, my warranty's expired. The final problem was that it started up
yeah.
Windows, and then it would say, click on the icon to open up Windows, but there'd be no icon.
Which makes it difficult to click on it to open
so
it.
Then I couldn't, there is so then by then, you can't. I can't fool around anymore. I can't use my computer.
So I call up to try to figure out a way to solve this, and I call up their tech support. And as most people will know out here, you'll have heard this if you listen to the comedy show that Clea and I do, The Mep Report. Customer service. It's not here anymore.
It's not in America.
So I call up and I get this guy who says, hello, welcome to the... I am part of Hewlett Packard and I would like to help you with your tech support problem. What can I do for you? So, you know, he's a very nice guy, but I mean... Again, I hate when I'm... Because I have some level of technological savvy. Certainly, I'm not enough to be able to open up and diagnose what's wrong with the laptop. But, you know, so I hate the things that are sort of like, okay, let's begin by looking. Look, do you see a button called Start? I'm like, yes, yes. And it's called something called Microsoft Windows, I think. I mean, I know this, okay? Let's get past this business.
Right.
He's like, all right, well, you know, I look at this and open this. And so he goes through this thing. And he's like, well, you know, it doesn't appear that I'm able to... Oh, and by the way, did we mention that you have to pay this to begin with? Like, once you're past warranty, they have certain levels of payment. So you pay them $30 for this.
They assess the situation, and then they say, okay. So, and I don't understand the assessment phase, because I'm sure the end of every assessment phase is, okay, this is what we can do for you. You could pay $60 and get our Texas guy to help you. I'm like, why did you just make me go through that? Because I know that this outcome is going to be the same.
Right.
So he says, we'll give you $60. So then I think, well, and they're like, however, you're going to need the Windows program to fix that. And
right.
It sounds like you don't have your full startup thing. And I haven't gotten rid of anything. Okay.
Yes.
So then I call up Windows and they
calls up Microsoft.
Microsoft. And again, they do the same thing. Well, tell me what the problem is. Okay. This is the deal. This is what we could do for you. You could pay $50 and our tech guy will help you out.
And at what point I had both of these guys.
Well, this is the thing. So we bought the Windows thing.
Right.
Because Windows thing is, they'll reimburse you if they don't fix the problem.
Right.
So I figured, well, we might as well go with that. And then if it's not a Windows issue, they tell you can't fix it. Then you go to HP and you get your money back.
Okay.
So we had Windows. Microsoft guy was helping you out.
That's right. So then I get in contact with the Microsoft guy, who, again, is another Indian guy. He's just like, oh, yes, well, first of all, look for the Start button. I'm like, okay, I just had this conversation. But anyway, so he works through it with me. He's like, okay, let's do this. You know, can't figure out anything. He's like, all right, well, we need to find the recovery CD. Well, we don't have the recovery CD. Why don't we have the recovery CD? Because Hewlett Packard did not return them to us the first time that we sent something to be fixed.
Right.
Okay? So at one point, I swear to God this happens. He gets on the phone a guy from Microsoft, who clearly is also not from America, but from India. So you have two guys guys arguing with each other over which one is better able to solve Clea's laptop problem. You know, well, I think if you pay for this, about that, there is no need for him to pay for that. He's already being working with Microsoft because we are helping him out with it. I do not want to hear that because we are able to help her. And I'm like, what is this? Going to be like, in a second, going to have a hoedown? You know, that I will destroy you. I couldn't believe that I was listening to people debate over who was going to help me. And either one was going to cost
funny
money.
Because
oh, my God. They're probably sitting in the same building, in the same cubicle next to each other, for God's sake, in India.
It was just very funny because you had, like, this Microsoft guy was helping you. And then for the first time, it was like a Twilight Zone. Instead of you having to deal with this Indian guy tech support, another Indian guy tech support
was working with
has to deal
guy.
With the Indian tech support. So it's kind of like, let's just put him in a room and let him figure out, you know, the humidifier and the dehumidifier. See what happens.
So here's the punchline to all this. So they get through this thing. Of course they can't help. I end up having to do some things myself, and we gradually start working it out. But the Microsoft guy was very anxious to make sure the problem was solved, and so he takes down my phone number to call me back, you know, to follow up. And that's what he does. In fact, he doesn't follow up just once. He follow ups 4, 5, 6 times, leaving messages on the phone. And eventually, I start getting emails from them saying, "I have come to my attention that you may have had some trouble with Sumita Rahatara, whatever the name is, previously. And I, as his supervisor, would like to help you with this." And I'm like, okay. So I finally send an email. I'm like, look, there was no problem with it. Here's what happened. But I still need to fix this part of the problem, which I haven't been able to fix yet. Can you help? They say, this has properly been entered as part of the addition to the case. Thank you. Since then, I have heard nothing. No phone calls, no emails. So when I finally got back in touch with them to say, everything's fine, but can you help with this? Then we're going to stop with the follow-up phone calls. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. So what it comes down to ultimately is this. We talked about the fact that capitalism excesses blah, blah, blah. On the other side of things, customer service, this is something which could be improved much, much more than it already is, both in terms of what HP did and what Microsoft did. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you want to give it, but I'm saying for what they put you through, HP has got to get like a 1.5 out of 5, I would think. Because, I mean, you pay all this money, you have a warranty, they screw it up, send it to you until it's out of warranty, you get back in touch with them, they still can't help you, and by the way, they erase your hard drive. It's like asking a guy to come over and fix your you know, plumber to come over and fix your toilet, and he says, not only am I not going to fix your toilet, I'm actually going to open your sink and pour water over your kitchen floor on top of it. Now please pay me money. If I can fix the floor, if you give me $50, or I have $100, and then I'll always fix your floor.
Wait, that might be a good deal. Is that like $100 for life? He'll always clean our floor?
No, $100 each time he comes back.
Oh.
But the $200 so he can be like permanently on call as our personal
plumber.
That would
be awesome. I think that'd be worth it.
Well, maybe.
They so, follow us around wherever we live.
And then he's like, that's not what it said. So what do you think, 1.5?
Yeah, 1.5.
1.5 out of 5. So there, you want a negative review, there it is. So last we've got on the docket is the Will Flipson Show, which is a podcast that which is submitted to us for review.
That lovable teddy bear, Mike Tyson, is in the spotlight again. Earlier today, he was guest caller for the East Coast Spelling Bee, and our cameras were there.
Bobby, here's your first word. Fusses.
Fusses? Please use the word fusses in a sentence.
If you ask Mike one more question, he will knock your two fusses right down your throat.
Come back tomorrow for our exclusive in-depth interview with the last living human being on the face of the earth.
And I guess both of us have had a chance to listen. I think we listened to three total shows.
True, 2.5. You're at 2.5.
2.5, because I think we got the idea when we were listening to the third show. And yeah. I should say that the guy who submitted this to me seemed like a very nice guy. And it's clear that the show is well produced and there's a lot of work put into it. If you go to their website, which, by the way, you can find at willflipson.com, that's WILFLIPSON.com. And if you go to WillFlipson.com, it'll bring up the webpage and you'll be able to download episodes and do things like that. And on the positive side of things, clearly the show is well produced. Clearly, I mean, they have a whole staff team. You know, they have a team of staff writers
okay,
that produce the show.
I didn't understand the Meet the Cast thing. Click on Meet the Cast, and I didn't understand it at all. First of all, there's no real identifier. Second of all, you can't click on anything.
Yeah, it's true. Well,
it's just not very interactive.
I was going to save the website for things that I don't like as much, but I agree with you. Yeah, it's not interactive at all. That's true.
Yeah, and definitely just the homepage itself is quite boring, I find.
Yep.
And I also don't like this, I have to put my email address in. I mean, I guess he's not going to send me spam, but
well,
I know there's a lot of people that see that and would just run the other way.
I guess. I mean, I understand why he's doing it and you know, to sort of increase listenership and everything else. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a little, maybe a little bit over the top. But, you know, I guess, I don't know. But on the positive side of things, before we get to some issues that we have with the show, it's a comedy show. And it's a show which is done, I think it runs anywhere from maybe 15 minutes to a half hour, I think we found.
Yeah, you know, it's not that long.
It's not very long. And it's sort of a, it's really a comedy sketch show. So they'll, very similar to, Clea has mentioned, Fire Sign Theater in the past.
Yeah, they say
or,
that it's, every they describe every episode as reminiscent of early Saturday Night Live and National Lampoon.
A hilarious and edgy sketch comedy show, they say.
I could, I guess, not really know what early Saturday Night Live is and National Lampoon, but I don't think it's anything like that.
No, because, well, for a lot of reasons, but yeah,
but
it's not quite like that.
But it is exactly like Fire Sign Theater kind of stuff.
Yep.
A little like radio version of Monty Python.
A little bit. They have skits, you know, and, like they have a skit. They have like Mike Tyson doing a painting skit thing where he's like got some, you know, painting in jail business and it's as if he's being broadcast. They have another one where it's like this game show called Pill or Person where this game show guy, you know, says a name and the people have to buzz in and say if it's a pill or a person.
Yeah.
So they do sketches, you know, things
and
like
I
that.
And I think that pretty much all of their sketch ideas are incredibly intelligent and creative.
Agreed.
Concepts.
Yeah.
But I feel that the delivery is half and half.
Yeah.
But brilliant concepts. I mean, just really creative and great ideas.
Yep.
I mean, they're obviously, I mean, you mentioned that the references
yep.
of the 8-word poem, and they're obviously very smart.
Yep.
But it's the delivery that isn't always there.
And it's weird because it's a well-produced show. I mean, you know, it's
oh,
obvious,
yes.
You know, they've got music clips, they've got things
and the,
broken
everything
in.
Everything is very, the sound quality is great,
yeah.
The flow of the show.
Yeah, so it's obvious
good.
That they really put the show together very well. But in terms of some issues with it, which I guess this is a nice lead into it, I mean, and I'll be interested to hear what you have to say about it, but for me, there's two. One, on the website thing, I find their website very, very confusing to navigate. I mean, you've got this one sort of random page that pops up, which has got their logo, and it's got a little player on it, and then it's got a chat screen, I think, and then it's got a listing of things on the left, and everything it clicks on is something, it brings you to a page that has no discernible thematic consistency with the first
exactly,
page.
Yeah.
So you're like, did I just go,
go
did,
to
I,
another
did I go to another
site?
Place or
yeah.
something? And
yeah.
even when you want to download, this is a place that cries out for PodPress, big shout out to PodPress again, because he uses WordPress for his blog, and if he put PodPress, then everything would be sort of in a central location rather than just sending you all over the place. So that's yeah. that's a problem with the website itself. But the issue with the show I have, I think Clea put it very, very well. Something is off about the delivery because, to be honest, a lot of the show just isn't funny. There are some skits which are amusing. The,
yeah,
the Tyson skit's kind of funny.
I wouldn't say a lot of the show. But, you know,
but a lot of it's like, eh.
But I have to say, you know, again, like making a hopefully they'll like this comparison, but a comparison to Monty Python. I find 50% of Monty Python to be amazing and brilliant and hilarious.
Yeah.
And 50%, what? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't get that at all.
I think you're right.
And
I think you're right, yeah.
And so I do feel that 50% of the time it's on and 50% of the time it's not on. But I didn't hear anything and its delivery made me crack up and just die laughing. So I think that they still have a little bit of like the comedy delivery that they need to work on. And there was another, like some of their intro, like his I don't know if there's like a main guy, but his style kind of sounds scripted, and I don't know if that he's choosing to talk that way.
I think this is Doug Snodgrass, because it says on the cat. I'm not telling tales out of school, because it says on his page Doug Snodgrass is Will Flipson. I think
okay.
Will Flipson's supposed to be like the kind of central guy. Whatever.
So I don't know if he's choosing to sound that way on purpose as like a creative statement,
right.
or what? Because it sounds very kind of scriptive, and that I will say this, and you
and
know,
then I'll
then
say
I'll
it
say
very deadpan. Yeah.
And so I just don't know. But again, very creative. Like I'll give one example that we listened to. He has an interview, a newscast interview of the guy that did the Sistine Chapel floor. You know, and just, you know, I think a
it's
little
funny.
Bit thinking on the box, and it gives him an opportunity to play like an Italian
yep.
machismo, you know, not being appreciated. And it was a good skit.
Although I should say that some of the references strike me as being a little bit dated. I mean,
yes.
they make like even the Mike Tyson thing. I'm like, okay, the Mike Tyson, that would have been more of an amusing reference 5 years ago when anybody cared about him. But a lot of the stuff that they bring up to me, I just found to be stuff which just isn't really relevant anymore. And it's not like this show has been around for 10 years, so I'm listening to episodes back when it would have made more sense.
If they wrote a lot of these ideas before they were able to put them into a podcast, and then so are kind of
and now the technology caught up. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question.
But that is a good point. But I want to give a shout out to some of their music choices. They do James Brown, Get Up Off of That Thing. And it's just great because, a lot of people probably don't really hear that song or know it out of context. And he does in one of the podcasts play a few songs that people probably have never heard of. And then you can get the soundtrack.
The stuff that he's playing on the show in a lot of these cases is stuff which I don't think it's pod safe. I mean, he's doing things that are well-known Motown songs and James Brown songs, and I can't imagine.
Get Up Off of That Thing.
Yeah. And I
can't. Dancing, You Feel Better.
And it's cool, and it's down home.
Well, but the point I want to make is,
I'm not sure that it's legal. Maybe Doug has unbelievable connections and James Brown is his actual godfather. He's not just the godfather soul, but he's like actually the godmother. And it works, but
yeah,
I just want to remind him, be careful.
Just in case he hasn't thought of it, maybe he's on it to it, something that we don't even realize.
Yeah.
But if he hasn't thought about it, he should be careful, because if he wants us to keep going someplace, he might have to change that.
Exactly. But having said that, the music itself is good. I agree with Clea. And I think that certainly is a good addition to it. So it sounds like you're going to like this a little more than I did. I think it's from the way I'm reading it, it sounds like you were more into it than I was. I was not a big fan, I have to be honest. I think it's well produced, and I think that deserves a lot of credit, and I think that I like the fact that there's a comedy show that isn't just a bunch of rambling, but it's actually, people putting together things, and I agree the ideas are creative. But I think that as important as the creation of the idea is the delivery of the idea, and I just didn't find a lot of it funny. I just listened to these episodes and I said, I've seen this a million times. And I just didn't find it funny. And ultimately, if you're trying to do a comedy show to make people laugh and it's not doing it, then that's another thing. And now who knows? Maybe there are some people who would find this funny. But this isn't like I'm saying, this is just something which doesn't speak to us, like with Rambling Retard Rampage. I mean, I could see where it's supposed to be funny. I just don't think it's making that happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I would go easier on it, because comedy is a very individual thing, and there's definitely people out there that might find this hilarious.
Could be.
But I would want to give it a 3.
Yeah, I would give it a 2.5.
The 0.5s. Do you realize that?
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't want to give it a 2. That's way too low. But I mean, I think a 2.5 is more the way I feel about it. I guess I could be talked into a 3.
It's also early.
It's fairly early.
Only episode 15.
That's true. And I certainly feel like there are a lot of good things, sort of avenues for improvement. I have to be honest, I didn't find it that funny. And that's kind of, we have to be honest about the way we feel about it. So yeah. That's fine. I'm willing to be convinced. I'm willing to go up to the 3. That's fine, because there's certainly potential for later. So.
All
so
right.
3 it is. So that concludes our show for today, since we've gone a little bit over. And we want to remind everybody to check us out at www.furtherreview.net. And we will be back at you with more reviews and everything else next week. Please make sure you comment on our blog, email us, get in touch with us, do all that cool stuff. And we will see you guys in 1 week. Happy July 4th. Upon Further Review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
We'll see you next week. The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.